close with a short mimer on the Seder. Rashi, in the beginning of the parsha, points out that when Yosef went to visit Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu bowed down. Who was he bowing down to? The Rashi has two pshat. One pshat, he was bowing down to his own son, Yosef, because he was the Melech, the Mishnah Melech. And even though it's his own son, he mechuyev to the mechaber his own son, if he's a Melech. Yeah. And then Rashi has another pshat, that he wasn't bowing down to Yosef, that he was rather bowing down to the Shechina, because the Shechina is Merashur Yosef Shalachur. This is a sophic in Din, this is a sophic in Halacha. If a person has a chiyuv kibbutz to his son, but the son has a chiyuv kibbutz to the father, it's like his father, so does the father have to be mechaber the son or not? They quote the Rosh quotes in Kiddushim, the Maharam Rutenberg's father was not, was that Rosh, but he wasn't as great a Talmud Chacham as the Maharam Rutenberg. So when the Maharam became the great Poster Gador, so his father used to stand up when he came into the room. And the Maharam was bothered about this. He didn't think that it was allowed. He felt that since he had a Chiv Kibbutz to his father, so the father, even though the father has a Chiv Kibbutz to him because he was a much better, greater Talmud Chacham, he thought that they should cancel each other out, and the father should not be Mechuyiv to stand up for him. And Mela not be allowed to stand up because it's a bizoyan for him. He's being, Maharam felt that he's violating, he personally was violating Kibbutz by having his father stand up. So the Rosh quotes a harsh story, it's quoted in Yeridaya, that from the day he became a big gadol and he realized that he has a problem, he moved away from his father, he never met his father again because he was afraid to get involved in this shayla. A strange story. Could be, it could be. So l'chor, this issue depends on the two pshatim here in the medrash that Rashi quotes. Possibly, I don't know. If the son is the melech and the father is not, does the father have chiyuv kibbutz to the son? I don't know. Maybe that's the issue.
Not the kibbutz of the son, it's the kibbutz of the whole medina.
Possibly, it could be different. Could be different. So here, the Gemara has a halacha based on this, that the shechina shorah b'malam me'asheris of shalachor. The Gemara says, that one who comes to be Mavaka Chayla, the Gemara says, if the Chayla is on a low bed, I'm not permitted to sit on the Chayla. Gemara in Shabbos, in the first bed, you're not permitted to sit on a chair which is on a higher level than the bed. So I don't know, well, the beds in the hospitals are much higher than the chair, so there's no Shabbos. But if you have a Chayla on a low bed, the Gemara has a din, you have to sit lower than the Chayla, because the Shechina is Lamad and Ashayza, and you're being Mavaz of the Shechina. That's one din the Gemara has. The Gemara has another din, that normally when a person davens, so one can be yotze tefillah b'cholosh. If he doesn't understand Hebrew, he can daven in translation also. However, the Gemara says you have a problem. If a person davens b'tzibur, so the tefillah goes directly to the Shechina. If the person davens b'yochid, he doesn't have a minyan. But then the Gemara says the tefillahs are only presented to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the malachim. You don't daven to the malachim, you're not allowed to pray to the malachim, but you pray to their Bnei Shalom, but the prayers have to be delivered to the Shechina by the malachim. So the Gemara says, if a person davens b'lashon aramis, ena malachim akirim b'lashon aramis, and they will not present the tefillahs to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So the Rishonim say, what do you mean, Taisus asks on the daf? What do you mean, the malachim don't understand lashon aramis? If they understand Hebrew and they understand all the other shivim lashon, so what's that? This they don't, they can't figure out lashon aramis. So Rabbi Kivega, they quotes on the daf in Shabbos, on daf in the first paragraph in Shabbos, he quotes the Tzmin Day, by the writer, it doesn't mean they don't understand lashon aramis. It means that they don't feel that it's proper that the person should daven in the vernacular. It's lav davka lashon aramis. Whatever the vernacular is of that country where you live, so the malachi asharis feel that it's not such a bekavod to get tefillah. You should daven in the same language that you speak to the adam lachaver. You speak in Ephesus in a special language. You speak lashon hakodesh, then they'll present the tefillah. Speak in a plain old language, they won't want to present the tefillah. So the Gemara hatakasha that one of the tanoim was mavaka chayla. And he said a tefillah, the Gemara says, you're not yetzi. It says in Yerodeh like that, you're not yetzi b'kachelim if you're not mispalel for the chayla. Because b'kachelim, the mitzvah is not time to visit. It means to help out the chayla to the extent that you're able to. So if you're a doctor, you give him an yetzi, you tell him what to do. If you're a nurse, so you help him out. If you can bring him some medication from the drugstore, so you give him that. And Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara tells a story in Nidorim that he came to his Talmud's home and he cleaned the floor and he cleaned up the bed and he changed his pajamas and so on, but that helped him also. If you visit a chayla in the hospital and he has doctors and he has nurses and he has they're cleaning up all the rooms, so what is there left to do? What can you do? So the Gemara says, you have to be mispal. That's the only thing you can possibly do. And even if you are a doctor, okay, you have to do something to him to help him get better. So the So the Gemara says you have to daven. So the Gemara says one of the Tanaim was mispalo b'loshon Aramis. Sometimes he was mevakach chayle, he said a tefillah in Hebrew. Sometimes he would say a tefillah in Aramaic. So the Gemara affect Akashi, but there was no minyan in the hospital. So if there's no minyan, what is he mispalo b'loshon Aramis? The malochim do not accept the tefillah b'loshon Aramis. They're not going to present it to the Banishlam. So the Gemara says no, that by the chayle, the shechin is lamadam rashas v'shalaf chayle, and you don't need a minyan. That's what the Gemara says. You don't need a minyan. I just went on Sunday to be mevakach chayle. That was a chayle from Eretz Yisrael, one of the big rabbanim. So he was all nervous. So Rav was nervous. He wanted to go to shul to daven a minyan. Never the fellow the chayle mesukim. He wanted to go to shul to daven a minyan. So all the people are visiting him, telling him over this Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos says that you don't need a minyan. The whole purpose of the minyan is that the shechina should the tefillah should go directly to the shechina. The shechina is there lemalim rashes v'shanashchem. That's what Rashi says. So here the Mefarshim on Rashi asked Kakashi, but he wasn't a chayla. Yaakov wasn't a chayla. And the next parasha it says, Vayachar advon ho'ayla, Vayayim elu yosim, hini yabich a chayla. The next pasuk is a chayla. That's pasuk Aleph in Perek Mem Ches. But this is the last pasuk in Perek Mem Zayin. He wasn't sick yet. He was an old man. He was weak, but he wasn't sick. So how does Rashi come off to quote a medrash here? What does the medrash mean? The shechiz l'malam rashi osu shalach chayla. Gemara doesn't say it on this pasuk. Gemara says on a different pasuk in Tilim. It's a different pasuk. The Rashi quotes the Bereishis Rabbah says it here. He wasn't the chayle. So the Maharal and the Gorari has an interesting comment. He writes Pasha Pshat. What does it mean? Why is the Shechina Malam Rashi Yosef Shalach Chayle? Why should it be so? So he says, based on the Agadah that we say always in the Yitun Lecho, that B'chomochim Shatamotzi, G'dilosu Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shemata Atamotzi and Misanusa. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk there in the Gila, where that Agadah appears. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that's also in the Yitun Lecho. How does the pasuk go? Pasuk says, "Is Dakash from Ruach?" How does the beginning of that pasuk go? The Gemara quotes that pasuk to demonstrate.
It's very easy to go on. Yeah. How to go away?
Yes. So that. Let me get back to where it is in the epoch. Es dako ushvaruach. The Gemara interprets es means im. Im dako ushvaruach. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is with the shvaka people. Shvama Rami so shechem kadosh mama. Marami kadosh eshkon. I am in the heavens above, and also es dako ushvaruach, and I am also with. So the Marami Prag writes in the Gurari, he says, "Islam dafka achoyla." The achoyla is one of the people who is dako ushvaruach. The shechina is together with all of the umlalim. That's what it means. Achayla is one of them class of people who is an umlal. So the Shechina is always with the umlalim, as the pasuk says. That's why the Gemara says that that the tefillah is on the kubel there, because the Shechina is always with.
How many
times? Eight. Yeah. Correct. That's all. That's all I can fit into my
It's all right. It's all right.
If I borrow 100.
I have a problem. I take half of it just now.
If I can't make half copies.
Yes.
Just have a short comment on one passage in the end of the Chumash. Sefer Bereishis described the way Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim for many years. The pasuk says, "Gam Bnei Mocha ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef." Menashe was one of the two sons of Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe's son was Mocher, so Mocher was a grandson of Yosef, and Mocher had children that were Yosef's great grandchildren. So he was there, he saw great grandchildren yuldu al birkei Yosef. What do you mean? They were born on his knees, on his lap. His doctor, the one of his left. Strange prophet. So the Ibn Ezra has an interpretation. Yuldu means that he raised them, like it says, Eli told us Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abraham holides Yitzchak. A very strange prophet. Yitzchak was the son of Abraham, Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. If it says that he was his son, of course he gave birth. The Ibn Ezra says, no, Yitzchak ben Abraham means he was biologically his son. And he says, Abraham holides Yitzchak means that he trained him and he educated him. Sometimes the word holid doesn't only mean to give birth to biological means to educate. So the Ibn Ezra says that that's the pshat in this pasuk. They were raised by Yosef. They were born in the hospital or whatever, and then they were diaped by somebody else, and then they were old enough. And they were Higil Achinov, so the great grandfather was Zeicha to be Mechanech his great grandchildren. That's how the Ibn Ezra said. There's an interesting comment, though, in the Targum Yenisim in Israel on this pasuk. He says that this pasuk has something to do with Mila. Exactly what is the question? So the simple reading of the Targum Yenisim is that Yosef HaTzadik was a Moel. He was Mal his own great grandchildren. And he was Mal and not his left. That's the simple reading of the Targum Yenisim. On the bottom of in the regular big Mikros Gdolos, they have a Meforish printed on the bottom of the Targum Yenisim. So he finds that difficult because we usually don't do that. But the big Chassidish Rebbes in Europe, many of them were Moelim. So they used to take the Sande Kois and the Mila. They used to hold the baby on their lap and do the Bris Mila with using their hands and their arms and everything. It's a hard job. So others say that you shouldn't do that because it's a Sakona. How can you be the Sandik? Sandik's supposed to hold the baby down so the Moel can do a good job. How can the Moel be the Sandik at the same time? So they did it. They knew how to do it. It wasn't too difficult. So the Meforish, but that's not the common practice. Only by the big Rebbe they did it. By the Hamoinam, we don't do like that. We have one person of the Moel and somebody else did the Sandik. So the Meforish on the bottom of the Targum Yenisim finds it difficult to interpret Yudu Al-Birke Yosef the way the Targum Yenisim sounds like he says Yosef was the Moel for his great grandchildren and they were on his lap, meaning he was the stomach and the Moel. So he tries to divert the interpretation in the Targum Yenisim, and he thinks that it means that Yosef HaTzadik was the Sandik, the Muhammad the great grandfather, the elder Zayde should be the Sandik by the great grandchildren. So this Meforish, on this Shot in the Targum Yenisim, the Achrenim come and they get all excited. But doesn't it say in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes in the name of the Maharil, that you should never be Mechabed the same person, a father has more than one son, you should never be Mechabed the same person twice, and two sons of his to be the son. Because the Mishnah says in Yuma, Chadashim lav korim bo v'hofisu, when it came to the pious means that they would take turns, they would like draw lots, or they would, how do you say? They would choose who should have which kind should have this schus to be makti lektoros, and whoever once had an opportunity to do the avodas lektoros in the Beis Hamikdash didn't have a right to this drawing. Everybody only had a right to do once in his life lektoros. Why? Because the Gemara says when you do the hakrovas lektoros, it's a schus for Ashiris, you strike it rich. And the pasuk says, "Yastimuk tara be'apach v'chala mitbechecha baruch Hashem chelo." Baruch Hashem Chel means it's a bracha on his property, on his possessions. You strike it rich if you mock the victor. So that's why they wanted to spread the wealth. So whenever a kohen had a schus once to be mock the victor, so the next day when they had a choosing who should do the victor, so they had only the others would be in the running. He wouldn't have an opportunity. So the Maril says that being a sandik for a bris mila was also tchina being mock the victor. Somehow it's also schula for Ashiras. So in order to spread the wealth, you shouldn't give the same. A father shouldn't give the kibud to the same person twice on two of his sons. He should only give to someone. That's what it says in the Ramah. The Vilna Gaon says in his commentary right on that similar year there, he was a sandik many times and he didn't strike it rich. He's still a poor man and he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't sleep. Where does it go with Rashid? And the Chassidish Yisrael, they say that Ashiris means whatever your understanding is, whatever your hashtagos are. If you're a businessman, then Ashiris means in money. And if you're a Talmud Chacham, then Ashiris means in Torah. So they say the Vilna Gaon was there for Ashiris in Torah. And if you're a Tzaddik, so the Ashiris is Ashiris in Yerushalayim, and Ashiris in Mitzvahs, whatever. So the Meforshim ask on this Meforsh on the Targum Yenisim, how can he say that Yosef HaTzaddik was Mechabed, that Yosef HaTzaddik was Mechubed, with being the Sandik by all of the name Baruch Ben Menashe, by all of his great grandchildren, this Mochir, the same grandson, was Mechabed, the grandfather, more than once to be the tzaddik by several brisim. Isn't that against what it says in the Yeruday that you shouldn't be mechaber the same person? No, that's the kasha that he's there. Targum Yenisim holds fakir. So one of the Svarim on Chumash, the Reish Rov has in the Sefer Drash VeHoyim, he suggests an interesting work over here. He says if you look in the Ramah in Yeruday and Hilchas Mila where he quotes the Maharil, never to be mechaber the same person twice in a row, it says not to be mechaber chavero. It speaks about being mechaber someone who's not a member of the family. But he says, what about to be mechabed the Zayda, the Elder Zayda? He thinks that's different. Why? Because al pi halacha it's different. There's a strange tshuvas Rabbi Kevager. Kevager discusses, let's say the baby is born, and the mother and the father are fighting, who's going to be the son? Sandik's the biggest kibbut by the Zayda. Who should be the sandik? Whether the mother's father or the father's father? So they come to a din prayer by Rabbi Kevager. Who wins? So Rabbi Kevager has a tshuva where he paskins based on an oil oyster fry, that's Achsidish, he says. He quotes the Ohel Sefrayim, where he says that being the Sandik is considered the beginning of Chinuch HaBonim, because the Medrash says that before the baby has a bris milah, he cannot be Zeicha for Talmud Torah. Only after the child has his bris, then is he able to be Matzliach in learning Torah. So the grandfather has also a Chiyuv Talmud Torah on his son. Which grandfather has more of a Chiyuv Talmud Torah? Rabbi Kaveh quotes from the Gemara in Kedushin, the paternal grandfather has a stronger Chiyuv than the maternal grandfather. I have a stronger Chiyuv to teach Torah to my son's children than to my daughter's children. That's what it says in the Gemara. Well, the Maris HaMosim is B'nei Chem includes also B'nei Banim, but not so much B'nei Banim. The grandchildren of my daughter, I should educate them also, but I'm not motivated as much to educate my daughter's children as I am to educate my son's children. And the Kivegi says, La'alocha, therefore, since the idea of being the tzaddik is that, since the whole idea of the bris milah is to initiate the child in Talmud Torah, and the paternal grandfather has a stronger chiyuv chinuch habonim on the grandchildren than the maternal grandfather, so therefore the paternal grandfather has the right to be a son against the mother's father. Even though the mother was carrying the baby for 9 months and she had a nevach to live with the child, she had to go through all the pain. The father didn't have too much to do with this, only nevertheless, his father has the right. He has the right to be mechabed the son of his father. So that, and the Reish Rav points out in his sefer, he thinks that maybe based on this idea of Rabbi Kaveger, maybe this whole principle not to be mechabed the same person twice only applies not to mechabed. I'm a friend, a relative, the Rav, the local Rav in town, you shouldn't be mechabed twice. Mechabed the Rav for the first bris, and if you have another bris, mechabed somebody else. The dying, some other tamafah, and someone else. But if the mechabed is Zayde, the Yelta Zayde, that they have a chiyuv chinuch habonim, so they mamish fit in with the bris. They have a shaychus with the bris. They want to participate in the chinuch habonim. And the beginning of the first step in chinuch is being mal the child. So maybe then there wouldn't be any violation of giving sandikos twice to the same person. So he suggests that this targum yonis and according to the way the Mefarish interprets it, could even be always gehalt na api aloch. He says the Ramah only says shelo lechabed chavero pam shniya. Chavero means someone not in the family. Someone in the family, not an answer. But if it's a grandfather, great-grandfather, but there's a chiyuv Talmud Torah for the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren, then perhaps there's nothing wrong. That's the chiddush mizid. Many people are learning. The chab of the grandfather more than once. That the background of the issue is a very major machloikis between the Rambam and the Raizim. The Yishalmi says in Asafas Megillah that La'asid Lavoi, all of the Svarim of the Tanakh, all of the Svarim of the Vim Ksuvim will be brought to, with the one exception of Megillah Esther. That will not be brought to, because the Pasuk says in Megillah Esther, Zichron Yosef Nizarim. It says that this book of Megillah Esther will never be forgotten from the Jewish nation. That's a quotation from Yishalmi. Kol Asvarim Asidim Nibotel, all the Svarim will be brought to. That's the question, what it means, except for Chamisha Chamisha Torah, and Megillah Esther will also not be bought. So the question is, what does the word Bakel mean? So the Rambam writes, in the very end of Hilchos Purim, Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam writes that it means that now it's only a Hayu Ashur that we have Chav Dalet Tzvam, we have 24 Tzvam in Tanah. Ali B'Gehem means there's only 6 Tzvam in Tanah. Chamisha Chamisha Torah, Megillah Esther. And the rest of the Nevi'im Ksuvim is only a Hayu Ashur, it's only the Rabbanah. The faith, it's the make-believe. We act as if we have an additional, however many it is, an additional 18 Svarim. I'll leave it down that the whole Tanakh consists only of 6 Svarim. Chamisha Chamisha Torah, and the Megillah Esther, which was given the Ruach HaKodesh on the same level of Ruach HaKodesh as the Sefer Torah was given. That's how the Gemara says. Giddush on the Yemes, the Gemara says about the Megillah Esther, Giddush on the Yemes, like Amita Shel Torah. Just like the Sefer Torah is Mita on the Hidoresh, so to the Megillah Esther is Mita on the Hidoresh. So what it means is the Megillah Esther is given with the same level of Ruach HaKodesh as the Chamisha Chamisha Torah. And the other thing is Ksuvim or not. So therefore, what does that lead you to say? So the writer says, God, so it's given at a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh, it doesn't mean anything. The Rambam says, no. But it means that all of the other Sifrei HaTanach are only Haru Hashem of the Rabbanon, that we treat them, we make believe as if they're part of Tanach. I'll leave it down if they're not. What's the purpose of all of the Sifrei HaNevuah? To give Musa and Tachacha to Bnei Yisrael. They were sinning, so the Nevi'im gave Musa and Tachacha. So the Yerushalmi says, well, I love her when people will be tzaddiki, the Malah Har Be'eth Hashem. So there won't be any need for these Sifrei HaNevi'im of Ksuvim. So the only thing they'll need will be the Chamisha Chamisha Torah. And the Megillah Esther, which was given on the same level of Ruach HaKodesh, so the Giddush Shalom Yemes, Chamisha Chamisha Torah. So you'll just have these 6, and the other Svarim will be bottled in the sense they will no longer have Kedushas Kisei HaKodesh. That's how the Rambam writes. And the writer disagrees very strongly with this Rama, right at the end of Hilchot's Megillah, and he says, what do you mean? He's Tanakh. Tanakh is a Tanakh. Keep your faith. What do you mean? It's only the Rasha, the Rabban, and you make believe in this Tanakh. This is the real stuff. This is the real Tanakh. So the writer says, no, he's Bartler and Anders after. That the man is there, we lay not only from Chamisha Chamisha Terz, and then there's a Terz. We lay sometimes have Terz in the Deen, and we learn two on different occasions, different Megillahs. But the lover, if his form will be sitting in the bookcases of his blood tail, he will not lean from the other throat. Outside of the Hamisha Hamisha Terah and the Megillah Esther, which will still be used even at that time, blessed lover. But it doesn't mean that the Kedushas keep their credit from the other part of the Tanakh will be the case. It is a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivad, how to view what is the nature of the other form of Tanakh. Moshe Rabbeinu was only given Hamisha Hamisha Terah, that's all. And then later they would give him the Gila Sefer with some type of a level of Ruach HaKodesh, which the Yishalmi commenting on the Pesach, Jiva Yishalmi B'yem is Kamita Shal Torah. The Yishalmi says that somehow it is on the same level as the Shalmi Torah. Just like the Shalmi Torah is Nitan L'Yidorish, so the Gila Sefer is Nitan L'Yidorish. And the other Svarim of the Rebbe Suvim was somehow not on that level. So the Shalmi said, they're not on that level. So the Shalmi said, what right do the Chachamim have, Dan Shalmi Sagadola? What right do they have to incorporate them into the canon, into the Tisa Kodesh? What kind of a din is that? The Rambam Tachov, they had no name. That's not part of the Tanakh. There is no such thing in Tanakh. There's only Chamisha Chamisha Torah and the Gila Sefer. And the rest is only the Rabban and the Haru Asher. It's a long Haru Asher for 2,000 years. A long Haru Asher that we have here. Shua, Shoftim, Shum, Rachim, Tillim. It's only Haru Asher and the Rabban. In Atera, all you have is Chamisha Chamisha Torah and the Gila Sefer. Everything else is only a fake with the Rabban imitation to Sefer. And the Rabban holds no. That it is just like you have a din, that the Chachamim have a right to extend the Beis HaMikdash. With a mission, the first mission in Sanhedrin. You can be mighty follower of Allah's oath. You can extend Kedushas in Yerushalayim. You can extend Kedushas HaZora. You can be mighty on all kinds of Kedushas. The Beis Magdol was empowered to be mighty on Kedushas. So too, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were empowered to be mighty on Kedushas Tzitzi HaKodesh. And the other part that they added on to the Tanakh, not just the Chamisha Chamisha Torah Megillas Esther, which the Divi Shalom Yerushalayim is Chamisha Chamisha Torah. The other part of Nevi'im Ksuvim, they're also included in Kedushas Kis HaKodesh Ben Atera, not in the Rabbanim. And when the Yishalmi says that they'll be bottled, it means they'll be bottled in the Kriyos and the Tzibur. They won't bother to lay, but it'll still have a Kedushas Kis HaKodesh. It could be the Akipash, because this is the background of this Machlokes, the 2 days in the Ramah, the 2 days in Tosfos. Whether the din of Klaf and the din of Dyo, all the requirements to Kedushas Kis HaKodesh are limited Gadkin, the Sefer Torah Megillas Esther, because those are the only two authentic Kis HaKodesh. The others are only imitations since they're close to the Rabbanon, so Numen, the Rabbanon! Call the Tikka Rabbanon came to write a Tikkun, but you don't have to be maxed so much, it can be paper, it doesn't have to be yo, where's the fella, that's one day. The other day it says perhaps no, the other day perhaps holds all the way, call the Tikka Rabbanon came to write a Tikkun, or perhaps the other day holds like the Raisa, that it's the real Dinda Raisa, that the whole Tanakh has Kushis Kishis, that it requires all the Dinam of Ksiva, say the Torah, and then has all the same Dinam. Yishalmi said that Amram and the Rabbi quote the Yishalmi that Lashi Lava Kol Asron Bekelem Chutz Mi Chamisha Chamisha Terem Megillah Esther. This is another Gemara in Bavli and Adorim around that long test. The Gemara says, if Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have been, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have not given them, in addition to Chamisha Chamisha Terem, anything more than Sefer Yeshua. Because of Chashivah Sefer Yisrael. Sefer Yeshua gives all the Gvul HaTorah. They wouldn't have needed the others. The others are pure Musa. So these things that the Nevi'im give Tachah. That's another Gemara. But the Yishalmi, where the Rambam and the Rabbi quoted, where the Rambam learned the Yishalmi, call us from the Torah, even include Yeshua. So the only thing that will not be buffed will be Chamisha Chamisha Torah, and the Gemara says, everything else will be buffed. This was the quite interesting minor regarding the end of Sefer Bereishis. At the very end of Bereishis, you find that Yaakov Avinu left the Tzavot, so they should take him back to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael after he died, and it said that they followed his Tavor and they took him back to Eretz Yisrael. Then the pasuk closes that Yosef also insisted, "Vayam Yosef alecha v'anochi meitz," and don't forget me. "Vayad b'Yosef b'nei Tzolem he made himself pachigit shevetim eschem alisim esatzmoisan mizem." He should take him back to Eretz Yisrael. So this pasuk says later in the beginning of parashas B'shalach, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mekayem the haftocha that he had given to. So the passage is interesting. Here it doesn't say This is Bayag Bayezid Bnei Yisrael. Here it adds on, Hasbea Hizbiya. Why the double Russian Hasbea Hizbiya? Rashi quotes from the Chachamim, from the Masilta. Hizbiya Mishiyazbiya Bnei. Jacob knew that the people who were alive to whom he was speaking would not be alive 210 years later when it's time for him to do something. What is the help if he's going to make them swear they're going to take him out from the shrine? They're not going to be alive themselves. This rule will be bottom of the So he's Dion, so he has Dion's name. If he made them swear, that they make their children swear, they can make their children swear, and so on, that whoever will be alive at the time of Christmas time. Yeah, you can call it. That's why it says, Hasbea Hizbiya. He made them swear that they would make their children swear. That's what it's saying. It's interesting, there's Rav Shover, one of the great Zionists before the Second World War, was asked what his view is about Zionism and about the Jewish character and everything. What does he have to say about the Gimel Shvuah? That's what the Mitzvah Kaddish are always tumbling about. The Gemara says at the end of the Siddur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the name, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shirat Tirim. It's not the Eretz Kamenos of Yishlam, it's part of the Aleph HaSadr. So that Pasuk appears three times in Shirat Tirim. It's not the Eretz Kamenos of Yishlam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Jewish nation swear three Shavuot. What are the three Shavuot that they say? So the Gemara has in the very end, the Gemara Siddur, Gimel Shavuot from Yishlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing so. God made the Jewish nation take three oaths. One of those, that they won't revolt against the Goyim to grab the Venus and saw back from the Goyim. They'll wait till Mashiach Tzidkenu comes and it'll be given to us from heaven. We won't declare war and grab it. So as all machlokes in Europe, whether the Gimel Shavuot are still binding or not binding, so those who were anti-Zionist will say, how can you have a Zionist movement to force the Muslim to get back to Israel, state the Gemara? That's a violation of the oath that we swore to the Baruch Hu, beyond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us swear, and said that we took the oath. They won't force the issue, they won't grab it, and so on. And the Zionists, the Zionists, from the Zionists, the Chayyavich didn't say that the Shavuot are not binding, it's not quoting Zaman, it's not quoting Yeridei, it's not quoting Shavuot. Why it's not binding? Because they broke their half of the deal, so we don't have to, we're not bound by our half of the deal, whatever. So they asked the Rabbi Tzeller, what does he have to say about that? So he didn't want to get involved. He asked him about the Agudah, what did he say about the Agudah? He wants to ask him, so you wrote a whole speaker there about Lulav Parachegit. Agudah? So he had to tie up the egged, but he had to tie up the lulav. Didn't want to write about it. He believe he never heard of the egged. So he asked him about the Gimel Shavuot. What does the Rebbe say about the Gimel Shavuot? Everybody in Europe used to write him letters. He was a guy that used to answer hundreds of letters, literally, every day. He used to send him all the yeshiva above in Europe. There's people from the Tel Aviv yeshiva, from the New Yeshiva. He used to, in Europe, he used to have, like we used to have in America, any postcard that are folded over. So you, a double postcard. I remember years ago you sent it, someone still have it now. So you send the postcard and the other person rips off what you wrote and he sends you back the postcard. So they all, the Shulbach was always sending about a Shavar Akasha and a double postcard. And you'd have to pay for the postage so you'd go broke in one day because you had hundreds of letters. Most of it was to pull them and sometimes the letters were Shavar Shalom. So the people would ask Kasha just in order to get back a letter from the other Shavar Goyim. You see, he would always make Ashen Blutter from their Kasha. He would always knock out. This is a stupid kasha, that's a stupid kasha. Someone asked him, Ashayla, what does he hold about the Gimel Shavuot? So he answered in one of these postcards, the Gimel Shavuot. So he ignores the whole issue of Zionism. He writes a stupid question. That's our kasha. How come Yosef knew that the people who, to whom he was speaking would not be alive at the time of the Tzitzit Mitzrayim? So the pastor says, his biyam say has biyam b'nei. He made them swear that they make their children swear, make their children swear, make their children swear, that whoever is alive at the time of the Tzitzit Mitzrayim will take his body, to take his bones out. At least in the Tashmoy's time. To take the Yosef HaTzadik's bones out. And how come about the Gimel Shavuot, we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us swear that we make our children swear, they make our children swear, and so on. Just so he'd be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so. So the Rav Shover suggested the following answer. He said that Yosef HaTzadik lived before Matan Torah. So before Matan Torah, there was no concept of Klal Yisrael. There was no theory of Klal Yisrael. So if I make an individual take a Shavuot, that Shavuot is binding on him, it's not binding on his descendants. And if I know that this person to whom I'm speaking will not be alive in another 210 years, he won't be in a position, he himself will not be alive. How are you going to take my bones out? So the only way to do it is to be Mashbiyam, Shiyashbiyah Zemah. I want you to swear that you make your children swear that they'll make their children swear that that someone's going to get me out of here. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pesukim in the Shir HaShirim and the Shlomo HaMelech right. Hishbati Eskom and Otsu Yisholayim. That was after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, there was a concept of Klal Yisrael as a nation, as one body, as a unit. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Bnei Yisrael take a Shavuot, Klal Yisrael took a Shavuot. And that Shavuot, the three Shavuot were binding the Elavah. He didn't have to make them swear that they'd make their children swear that they'd make their children swear. The Klal Yisrael takes a Shavuot, so the Shavuot is binding the Elavah. So it's interesting that this Chiddush, that the Rabbi Shavuot says, It's not his feeling. It takes time in the fasting. It doesn't go there like that. It exists, of course. But there is a concept of shvuah tatzibur. We have a concept of minhag. We have dinim, you have dinim in a Torah, then you have the dinim in the Rabbanon, you have biblical dinim in the Rabbanon that are not biblical. Then you have minhagim. In what way are minhagim binding? Why are minhagim binding? So in the other day, there's a machlokes, what's the story of minhag? But the Rambam has a unique sheet. The Rambam hasn't done some different sheet, but the sheet that's quoted the other day is in the ratio of dollars. So it says the other day, they call sheet as Balei HaTeis. The Rambam is done, of course, the opinion of Balei HaTeis, the minhagim are binding, the Tam, Neder, which is war. It's considered as if the whole people have taken a neder that they're going to clap homon when they didn't do a minute tea, homon tash, whatever, minute tea, crap like on Shavuot, whatever the minhagim are. Tef and Erev Hashanah, the Tef and Asar of the Tavis, Mikra Adin. His man has said, we who live in a free country, we Tef and Asar of the Tavis, it's only a minute, it's not Mikra Adin the Rabban, it's only a minute. Why is the minute binding? I don't want it. The answer is no, it's a minute has Tibur. The Tibur has accepted a minute. What Tibur? I never accepted anything. With the Tef, he says, no, the Tibur is considered one body. When a tzibur 100 years ago or 2,000 years ago took a neder, took a shvur, not as individual, they took the shvur, the neder, as a neder of tzibur or a shvur of tzibur that's bagging on all the dollars of boring, who relate to that tzibur who are still members of that tzibur. That's taka the chilek that the Rabbi Shavu said, lach amatim tera, we have such a tzibur. We have a concept of tzibur, and the tzibur can take a neder and a shvur. Kaidim amatim tera, Yosef was speaking to the brothers before amatim tera, they were just private individuals. The father individual cannot take a shvur that will be binding on the Doros HaBon to that. How do you have to be Mazbiyon? She has Biwa, isn't it? No,
I just closed with a short comment on the Seder. Yaakov Avinu, before he dies, gives a bracha to Yosef's children. Yosef brings the two children, Menashe and Ephraim. So Yaakov starts telling over a whole story. When I was coming, after I already had 11 children, and Binyamin wasn't yet born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me, B'nevua B'roch HaKadosh, and he gave me a blessing that I'm going, Kel Shakai Niroi Lai B'luz B'eretz Kanal Dai Baruch Hu, the Baruch Hu blessed me after 11 children were born, and he said to me, Hidden in Africa, the Hebrew Sicha, I'm going to have more children, and I'm going to give you more Shvatim, when the Satichu L'Kahala, I'm going to have more Shvatim, plural. And he only had one more child, Binyamin, so that's only one Shevet, and all the other Shvatim were born already, so where was the Baruch Hu fulfilled? The Ator, so Yaakov says, and now I'm an old man, I'm holding you, I'm not going to have any more children now, I'm not going to marry another wife now, it's too late. So where's going to be the extra shevet? Apparently, Rashi explains in the matter, so Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me the authority to endow a status of shevethood on one of my grandchildren. So that's what he says, Menashe Ephraim, I'm going to determine as two shvot. So the one shevet was Binyamin, who was born afterwards, and instead of Yosef counting as one shevet, he's going to be serving as two shvot. Menashe Ephraim is going to be two. And then he says, but any other, Menashe Ephraim is Kiruvim Hashem and Yuli, just like Reuven Hashem and Shvatim, so Menashe Ephraim will also be Shvatim. Any other children that you will have in Kal Abor, any other children that Yosef will have in Kal Abor, I don't endow them with the status of Shvatim. They should be counted, Hashem Echem Yikorv and Achalosim, they will either be belonging to Menashe or belong to Ephraim. So what's the whole yichas of being a Shevet? Mainach Gemina? Yes, Shevet, Nish Shevet. What's the difference? So here is a machloik is Rashi and Ramban. What is the significance of being a shevet? Oh, so the simple pshat is, he's talking about dividing Menachalosim, dividing Eretz Yisrael. So the simple pshat is, when they divided Eretz Yisrael, they even should have been known, they divided it into 12 equal portions, and every shevet got an equal share, whether there were 1,000 members of the shevet or there were 20,000 members of the shevet. The 1,000 members of the shevet, everybody got 20 times as large a share as that shevet where there were 20,000 members. So chaptan of kemin, and dollars and cents. That Menashe is a separate shevet and Ephraim is a separate shevet, they're getting more money. That's how the Ramban says Achum is based on the Gemara and Yeshnas and Baba Basra. Rashi claims that it's not so. Rashi interprets the Gemara there differently. There's a major machlekes in Rishonim, a long arich of dvarim, how to interpret the Gemara and Baba Basra. Rashi says it's not true that they did not divide Eretz into 12 equal parts. They divided it into unequal parts. They figured how many members in this tribe, how many members in that tribe, and then they divided Eretz into large pieces and small pieces. So how do they draw lots? If this tribe has 50,000, and the only Texas is the only part that can fit for 50,000, well, New York can only fit, Rhode Island can only fit if you have 12 people in the shape, and New Jersey if you have other people. So what do they draw lots? They drew lots, and it turned out to be right. They divided it according to, it was strange, they divided it into 12 parts, which were not equal at all. And the 12 parts of Eretz Yisrael coincided, corresponded to the sizes of each shevet, And then they drew lots, and lo and behold, every time they would draw lots, it would turn out the same way, because the lots were drawn off Yeruach HaKodesh. No, every time it turned out the same. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara, that the Shvatim did not get equal shares. Every person got an equal share. So Rashi's bothered with the question, so what's the yichat of being a shaven? If you don't make any money on the deal, so what's the yichat of being a shaven? So Rashi says, no, so grace the covet, because when they have Chanukah on his team, when you make a Mishkan in the day of Moshe Rabbeinu, after they leave Mitzrayim, every Shevet is going to send its Nasi to bring a Korban, so Shevet Ephraim goes separately, and Shevet Menashe goes separately. When they have the Zigolim, when they're traveling in the Midbar, so every Shevet goes with a separate flag, and they go with a separate procession. So that's the Kovet. That's the Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban, whether the status of being a Shevet is only when Yaakov Avinu gave over to Yosef, the Bechorah, he's going to have two Shvatim, and Ashma Prime. Was it a monetary nafkamina? According to the Ramban, they made a lot of money on the deal. They had more nafla in Eretz Yisrael. According to Rashi, it was only the covered the alma. So the Brisker Rav commented that he thinks this sounds like there's a passing in the Chumash that sounds very much like Rashi. In the Chumash Dvarim, it says, regarding Yosef, it says, Shevet Yosef is Bechor Shoro Hodolo. That Yosef was declared as the Bechor. For what purposes? Hodolo. Hodolo means covered. He was declared as a Bechor for covet purposes. It wasn't for Pishnayim. The dollars and cents, it didn't help because everybody got an equal share. It was only for the purposes of the Degolim and the Chanukah Sanasi that they were declared as Pishnayim.
I
look
for covet goes next to it.
Everybody. The beginning of Parshas Vayechi, the Brisker Rav interprets the Biur in the Rashi, who quotes a Medrash, a very interesting Biur, that the Chumash says that Yosef brought his two children, Menashe and Ephraim, to Yaakov Avinu to give them a bracha. So who did he marry? Who was the mother of these children? Ashiksa. So the Mishnah says in Yevamos that if you marry a Shivcha or a Nachri, so the Vlad is Kemaisa, so the children are Nachrim. So Yaakov Avinu says, Mi'ela, I should give them a bracha. Rashi says, Mehechan Yotzoel Shein Avim LeBrocha, I can't give them a bracha. It's Anadav Goyim. You're Taka Yid, Yosef is a Yid, but he married a Nachri, so the children are Nachim. So Yosef says, no, Bonai Hei, Mashanasan Lilakim Bozeh. The Gemara always says that the word Zeh in Chumash means something that you can.
Concrete.
Something concrete. So it does mean Bozeh in Eretz Mitzrayim, in this land. You can't show him Eretz Mitzrayim. So does that mean that he showed him something? Like Achodesh Azalachem, the Rabbanshom showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Levone, Azalachem Atomin, Matzashekel. Whenever it says Zeh, the Gemara says, Menachas, it means something that you can show. So here also, Shanasan Lilakim Bozeh. So what did he show Mishtar Revis, and how does that prove anything? So Abelvel explains, because the Gemara says later in Sanhedrin that by Bnei Noyach there is no Eris in Nisuin. You don't have two parts. You only have Bulas Bal Yesh Lahem, Nichnas Aluchot V'Lai Nivol Ayin Lahem. We have three ways of making Kiddush Nivu Kesef Shtar Rabia. After you make the Eris, then you have to make Eris Nisuin. By Bnei Noyach there is no Kesef Shtar Rabia. You only have Bia, and right away when they have Bia, it becomes an Nisuin. She becomes an Eish Yisish Gemur. They don't have two stages. So Yosef says, no, I was Megaya this Shiksa. I didn't marry a Nachris. Asnaz Bas Potiphar was born a Mitzvah, but then I was Megaya her, and she became a Yisraelis. And that's why when I make Kiddushin with her, I gave her a Shtar Erisin, because you don't have Erisin by Nachim, only by Yidin. So he showed him the Shtar Erisin to demonstrate to him that he really feels like a Yid, marries a Yiddish Ephraim.
Why can't you say it was Dina's daughter, like everybody said? He could have showed her that he had that coming that she threw them.
Not on Meshach. Meshach Soloveitchik, Zechan Levach, he used to interpret, he used to enter the Kasha of the Ran at the beginning of Ksubis. The Ran quotes the Goin and Eske Kasha and the Nusach HaBrocha that we recite by Achasene, the Kaddish Am Yisrael, Aidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. Zechapela, what do you mean, Aidei Chupa V'Kiddushin? You should say Aidei Kiddushin V'Chupa. First you have the Kiddushin, then you have the Chupa V'Kiddushin. So some Rishonim say, he quotes from the Baal Eter, I think, they run in the beginning of Ketubas on the Rif, quotes from the Baal Eter, that the correct Nusach is Aidei Chupa V'Kiddushin with a base. And some pronounce Aidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, to pronounce it that you should know what you say. It's really pronounced Aidei Chupa V'Kiddushin because whenever after a hey, the previous word ends with a hey, so the next word doesn't have a dogish in it. So that's why V'kiddushin. But what it means is, Aidei Chupa V'kiddushin means that we did a chupa in a state of kiddushin. That's what he found. That's what he said. And other time, he quotes other Rishonim have different gerusos. Moshe Soloveitchik used to say a different biur, that the Nusach HaBrocha goes historically. Kadosh Baruch has Mekadosh Am Yisrael. Historically, first by the Bnei Noach, there was only Chuppah. There's only Gvulas Bal Yeshlehem, and they don't have any Yerisin. After Matan Torah, then there's the Chilek between Harrison and Nisun. So that's what he said that's what we recite in the Bracha. Mekadosh Am Yisrael, they first, he was Mekadosh us with Chuppah. Koyde Matan Torah, he made a Chuppah, which is Koyde by Bnei Noach. All they have is Chuppah, all they have is Gvulas Bal. And then after Matan Torah, he gave us a Din of Harrison, that's Vikidushin. He first gave us Chuppah, and then he made, after Matan Torah, he gave us a Din of Kiddush. But that's how Avraham will interpret this Medrash, that Yaakov Avinu was afraid to give a bracha to the Nochrim, and he thought that they were going because the mother was a Shiksa. So that's what Yosef said, no, Erol Ashtar Erison, they have to be Yiddish. The mother was Jewish, he made Erison. If she weren't a Jew, there wouldn't be any Yiddish. In Parshas Vayechi, we have the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to all of the children, to all of the Shvatim. So to Yehuda, he gave a bracha, lo yasa shevet ni Yehuda, that the Malchus should always remain in shevet Yehuda. David HaMelech was from shevet Yehuda. And the Chayki can be in Raglo, the Malchus should remain by him. Ad ki yavo shilo, until the days that Mashiach will come, v'lo yikar tamim. And all of the nations will surround Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Melech HaMashiach, and they will all pay honor to him. They will all be kofud, the Melech HaMashiach. That's the pshat, that's how Rashi learns the Pasha pshat in the Pasha. The Christians made a big fuss about this pasuk. It says that the Malchus will always be in the hands of Yehuda until Mashiach comes. So obviously, if there's no Malchus based Dov in the house, it must be Mashiach came. So when did it come? So they said, oh, this is one of the end. That's Eitz HaHarish. When he came, that was the end of the Malchus based Dov. So they had debates in the Middle Ages. They had debates. So the Ramban says they walked their minds. What do you mean? The Malchus based Dov ended when Eitz HaHarish was born. Malchus Beis David ended years before, but Chakam Zayat Shani ended in the Bayis Rishon. There was no Malchus Beis David in Bayis Sheni. So how did they, Lishitosam, that Osa Huish was a Melech HaMashiach, so why wasn't he born at the end of Bayis Rishon? He was born towards the end, Bayis Sheni was destroyed in the year 70. And Osa Huish was born in the year 0, Lefi Shitosam, what they claim. A little before, a little left, or whatever, Shadow when he was born. But even Lefi Shitosam, the passage doesn't read straight. So how do you translate the pasuk? So he says it doesn't mean the way they mistranslated, that the Malchus will be in the Shevet Yehuda until Mashiach comes, and then it'll no longer be in the hand of Yehuda. No, it means from the beginning to the end it will always remain in Shevet Yehuda, even up until the time that Mashiach comes, from the beginning to the end. But it doesn't mean it'll be continuously. There will be a Melech. It means whenever there will be a Melech, the Melech should be appointed from Shevet Yehuda. But it doesn't say that there will be always a Melech functioning. There will be many, many years, a few thousand years, that there won't be a Melech at all. But when the Melech will be, when there will be a Melech, it should be from Shevet Yehuda. That's the Pashup Shah. The Gemara has a drasha on this Pasuk. Here in the Torah Tamimi, he quotes the drasha from Asechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that although there was no Melech in the Malchus Beis David for a long period of time during the period of Bayis Sheni and after, nevertheless, the Rashi said the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Reish Galusa was the Mokam Melech Lohemim, and the Yerushalmi says that they were descendants from the Malchus Beis David. Now the Nestiim, who were the Rosh Sanhedrin and Eretz Yisrael, were also descendants from the Malchus Beis David. But the Gemara says that the Rashi Goliash the Bavel had more of a power of Malchus than the Rosh Sanhedrin and Eretz Yisrael had. Why? So the Gemara comes, the Bavli says, Tezis puts in the Bavli with the Yerushalmi to show that everything fits in together. There's no machlekes here. It's a head in Afei. Tezis quotes. So the Gemara says, the Hostam Shevet V'Hocham Machoikek. The Gemara says in Bavli, that in the Reish Galusa in Bavel is called Shevet, that he really has authority as a Melech. The Rosh HaSanhedrin and Yisrael didn't have any authority as a Melech. He was a Machoikek. He was passing laws. So true, he was a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, but he didn't have as much power of a Melech that the Reish Galusa had. Why was that taka so? How come the Reish Galusa had more powers of Malchus than the Rosh HaSanhedrin had? So Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that the Rosh HaSanhedrin, they were both descendants from the Malchus Beis David, the Reish Galusa in Bavel and the Rosh HaSanhedrin in Yisrael, but the Rosh HaSanhedrin in Yisrael was not a ben aha ben aha ben. When Malchus Beis David, Masheni came, the Reish Galusa was a Ben Ahaben from Malchus Beis David. So the Meforshim point out that that's the way the Pasuk seems to read. That's how the Bavli and Yerushalmi read the Pasuk. So Yosef Shevet mi Yehuda. Shevet means the real Malchus. That will remain in Shevet Yehuda depending on who the father is. If you have a Ben Acha Ben Acha Ben, the Malchus based of it, then it's from Shevet Yehuda. But the Mechokek means the one who passes Chukim, the one who passes laws, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, the legislative branch of the government, that will be Mibein Raglov. Bein Raglov refers to the mother. Gemara has talked later in this parish. Gemara quotes Shul Yosef Yosef Mibein Raglov. So they were descendants not from the Malchus Beis David, from their father's side, but from the mother's side, Minan Akevis, both. So the Gemara says, therefore, they weren't really from Shevet Yehuda. So you could appoint them as the Rosh HaSanhedrin, but they weren't really from Shevet Yehuda. So that's why their authority, B'Toras Melech, was lower than the authority of the Reish Galusa, who is the Ben HaBen from the Malchus Beis David. The Rambam quotes the Omach, like
it. Was it Hillel's fault that this is descended from both great brothers?
From the Nekevis, yeah. That's why he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, right. The Rambam quotes that in the days of the Goyim, there was a big controversy. Yeah, Rambam Meister by us also on civil marriages. So you assume if a couple gets married civilly, that we declare, and they don't have a seated kiddushin, they don't have a chuppah kiddushin, but you assume, ein adam osa bi'ilosa bi'ilosnu, that nice, normal people don't want to live in sin. And the fact that they're living together as husband and wife is the numdin of that. You really want to be married religiously also, not just civilly. And the fact that there were religious people in the neighborhood who know that they're living together should constitute eidus l'kiyum adam. You have to have two kosher witnesses. So the fact that there were two religious men in the neighborhood, you have to have men and kosher men. Two religious men know that they're living a husband and wife, so they assume that there's kiddushi biyah. Where do you have kiddushi biyah? What, the man does the biyah l'shem kiddushin? Yes, because we declare ein adam osa bi'ilosa bi'ilosnu. So we assume that he's probably living with his wife, having in mind that he wants the biyah to be l'shem kiddushin. So should you assume such a fantastic story or not? So the Rambam quotes the whole machlokes among the Gaonim in connection with this story. The Reish Galusa institution went on for years and years and years after the Chasimus HaTalmud also, into the middle of the period of the Gaonim, until there was one time that one of the Reish Galusas married his Shifcha Knainis. And he had children from her. He didn't marry a Jewish girl, he married a Shifcha Knainis. And he had children from her. And then his child wanted to take over Yerusha. He's going to be the Reish Galusa. So there was a big machlokes among the Goyim. The Rambam quotes it twice in the Yalach HaZoh for this machlokes. So some of the Goyim said, we can't assign what the Reish Galusa is going to marry Shifcha Knainis. Ain't not about to be lost to be lost. So we must assume, we must reconstruct what happened. He must have freed the Shifcha Knainis. Once he's mishachar her, so that she's a Giyarim. Nothing wrong, he can marry a Giyarim. He's married a Giyarim. So the children are considered the descendants from the Malchus Beis David. So they should take over the Reish Galusa position. The other half of the Goyim said, nothing doing. We're Mehecha Teisa. What do you mean? Eidon Amasa Bilos Bilos Nus, in the middle of nowhere. We never heard that he was Meshach with the Shifcha Knainis. The Gemara only has this assumption, Eidon Amasa Bilos Bilos Nus, in rare situations when it looks like he's really doing the Shem Kiddush, then you make that declaration. But if it appears that a man marries a Shifcha Knainis, a man's son goes and he gets married civilly, so you should not necessarily assume that he's doing the Shem Kiddush. That was a big historical machlokes, and it has relevance today also. If a couple gets married civilly, do you assume, you would declare that like that? Ain't on a master below, so below, or not?
Marriage civilly, that is an indication that marriage, the question is they live together.
Doesn't necessarily indicate that they're people who wouldn't live together otherwise. Maybe just indicates that the wife didn't agree to live with the boyfriend unless he'll obligate himself, unless he'll accept obligation. She doesn't want to stand there with him without him being obligated to provide for her. Yeah. That's the question. If there's prutzim, and if the people whom we know are prutzim, so then they're prutzim barai, so then you certainly have no right to assume made on a master below the below. So then you don't need any get. Shailas, if they seem to be nice people who are not prutzim, but they don't know anything about Hilchas Kiddushin, so should you assume that ain't on a master below the below? But this is the pasuk that we darshan is from this institution. The institution of Reish Galusa was the Ben Acha Ben from Shevet Yehuda. And the institution of the Rosh HaSanhedrin is Mechaikik and Ben Laglo from the Nekevis. It wasn't really from Shevet Yehuda. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov Avinu gave brachas to each one of the children. He gave a bracha to Binyamin. Binyamin gave Yitro.
like a strong wolf. The Pasuk Pshat is that'll rip apart the enemy, they'll attack the enemy. So the Talmud Munkler has a whole interpretation on this Pasuk, and the Gemara says that they had a Kabbalah, that was the Pshat in the Pasuk, that it doesn't refer at all to attacking the enemy. The Talmud Munkler usually gives the Pshut to Shalmikro. That every pasuk has a pshut shal mikra, except for the pasuk v'hayap chorashat teimer. The Gemara says there the mikra is yetim de pshuta. Then in addition to the pshut shal mikra, you also have drashas chazal. The Rebbe who teaches little children is not mechuyav to teach, let's say in second grade, first grade, not mechuyav to teach every Rashi. Just has to teach the pesukim. What says teach? Which teach should he say? That's what the Rebbe said. Whatever it says in Targum Onkel, that's pshut shal mikra. Whatever doesn't say in Targum Onkel, that's very drashas chazal. That's Targum Onkel. So the Targum Onkel on this pasuk gives you a fantastic pshut shal mikra. So we all know the Gemara on the last daf in Sukkot. The Gemara says that there was one of the daughters of one of the Kohanim was complaining about the Mizbeach. And Lucas, she called the Mizbeach a wolf, that it eats up the flesh, it eats up such expensive damage they have to drink for Kabbalah. Where did she get such a lashon that it's a wolf? So the Pashpa Shat, she made up the lashon. She was attacking it's a wolf that devours animals. So the answer she got from this Pasuk, that the Chachamim have a tradition that the Pasuk speaks about the Mizbeach. The Yankel Dinan gives us that the Mizbeach will be built the Chelka Shol Teres. Binyamin Zeid Yitros. Binyamin will have the Mizbeach, the Zeid, the wolf that devours the animals, will be built in his Chelek. And then they're going to divide Eretz Yisrael to the various Shvatim. So Yerushalayim will be divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. And the border is going to be smack in the middle of the Azara, the Gemara says. And the Mizbeach has to be Bechel Kishol Binyamin, and not Bechel Kishol Yudin. And the Pasuk continues, Ba'berke Yechel Ad, in the morning they'll bring the Talmud Shol Shachar, to La'erev Yechalek Sholo, in the evening they'll be mocked the Talmud Shol Dein Abayim. And the Kohanim will divide the skid. So the Gemara has this, and the Gemara in Rochman has this interpretation, that the Talmud Shol Shachar places, that's the Kasher, that the Gemara says, the Mizbeach was not, the Mizbeach was tackled like this. It was a bottom square, and the Baal Shem, it was 32 amas by 32 amas, and then it went in one amma and went up. So it went in one amma on each side, it was 30 by 30, then it went in again, it was 28 by 28. So on top, the Mizbeach was only 28 by 28. So the Gemara says that the bottom square of 32, Lamed Beis on Lamed Beis, wasn't the full square. That let's say when you're facing Meiruv, and you look straight ahead to the Kodesh of Kodesh, you're facing Meiruv, so there was a Yisoid on the Meiriv side, that's Meiriv, no? Then on the Sofim side, then on the Mizrach side, just an Amma, the Gemara says. There was an Amma here and an Amma here, and all the rest was missing. It wasn't a full square. So the Gemara says, what in the world is that all about? Why couldn't they make a symmetrical square? Must be 32 by 32 to make all the Gemara says, no, they couldn't even have 1 inch of the Mizbeach, the Chel Kishol Yehuda. And that's where the border was. This was all Bechel Kishol Binyamin, and that little sliver over here was Bechel Kishol Yehuda. So they have cut off the Mizbeach from that part. So you can't have anything. And you have to put the Mizbeach. Rama writes, Rama Meir Sakasha, Rama Meir Sakasha. The guy in the corner, no, it's a good Sakasha, move on. Rama writes, you can't do that. He said, Rama writes in Hilchas Klei Amigdash, I think, on Beis Abchir, and Beis Abchir he writes, the comes from the Mizbeach, Mechuvan B'yaita, you must build the Mizbeach exactly on that spot. He says, that is the spot where Adam Arishan was marked as his carbon. That's the spot when Noach brought the carbon is after the Mabul. And that's the spot where the Akedah was. And that's the spot he says, Lekain and Hevel brought the carbon. He quotes the Medrash, that's the place where everybody brought the carbon. And that's the exact spot where the Mizbeach has to be over there. You're going to move it over, if you're going to have the Sender and Zer, it's going to be in the wrong place. The Sender and Zer has to be dabbing in that spot. So the Gemara says that part of the Mizbeach was missing. Based on his culture. I don't know. I didn't think how they such a border. The taste is bothered with a kasha. Mor has a machloika satanoim in the first parak in Yuma. Whether Yerushalayim miskalkal l'shvatim or Yerushalayim lo miskalkal l'shvatim. They divided the days of Yishuv and Lumen. They divided Eretz Yisrael. They divided the whole Eretz Yisrael to the various shvatim. What about Yerushalayim? So one time is of the opinion, and that's how we talk, and that Yerushalayim was never miskalkal l'shvatim. Already in the days of Yeshua, they knew that they're not supposed to divide Yerushalayim l'shvatim. It has to be belong to Gansplice, or Malcolm Mashiach, or Shaman Akach, Mikosh Vatecha. Has to belong, not an international Chalila in the sense it belongs to all the Yom Tov, in the international sense it belongs to all the Shiv Tekor. It belongs to all the Shvatim together.
And if you see a bar in Shvatah, then you have the same thing, that there's no Rupa.
Right. The Gemara has a whole series of dinim based on this assumption. Yerushalayim loynis chalta l'shvatim. The Tosfos frekt Akash, since we passed an halacha l'maisa like that, we assume historically Yerushalayim was never chalta l'shvatim. What are you talking about? Where? There is no chalta l'shvatim. The whole thing is a bluff. What's going on with this Targum Mukhla? The Tosfos has a lot of trouble. Tosfos has a lot of trouble explaining over there. They give a very, they don't really give a satisfactory answer. The Rav Soloveitchik commented, and I remember in the Shiur Memoria, when he was learning Megillah, he learned this place that appears in Megillah, in Yuma, other places, and he suggested the following pshat, which is very muchach. From a lot of kashas is muchach, but you have to say this pshat. That when they divided it to sell the Shvatim, there were two alochas. It's not some referent to the kashas. There really were two alochas. One alocha is that when I own property, this belongs to me and that belongs to you. So they say that this is called Tzvi'i. My name is Hersh. They say this is a Hershel Chumash. And that has a different name. This is a Shmuel Chumash. It belongs to you, a Shmuel Chumash. What? Because it belongs to me, it belongs to you. So it's Chalim Mechepsa? No. The Chepsa is a Chumash. It doesn't change. The Chepsa doesn't change. It's a relationship. Violence is a relationship. But when they divide it, they're still the Shvatim. The Gemara says, no, that's called Chalke Shel Yehuda. And that's called Chelke Shel Binyamin, and that's called Chelke Shel Yitzchak, and that's called Chelke Shel Zvulun. It's Mamish Chal and Mechepze. Chal Hashem Chelke Shel Yehuda. Ein Mekatsen et Alchayim Shel Bechelke Shel Yehuda. The Inbonim et HaMizbech al Bechelke Shel Binyamin. It's Chal Hashem and Mechepze. That was one din. That din, everybody agrees that Yerushalayim came as Chalke Veshvatim. They had to determine where the borders of every Shevet were. Yerushalayim was divided between two Shvatim. That was Chelke Shel Yehuda. This was Chelke Shel Yehuda. And that was Chalke Shel Binyamin, and the whole Mizbech had to be built on Chalke Shel Binyamin. Then the Gemara has another din. When they made the Chalukah of the Shvatim, there was a din in Mominus, there was a din Torah. So before they made the Chalukah, it belonged to Gam Kol Yisrael as a tzibur. After they made the Chalukah, that was the private ownership of that Shevet, and then the members of the Shevet went and they made a further Chalukah Liyachidim. And then this particular field belonged to me, and that house belonged to you, and that farm belonged to him. So that's the machlokes ha'tanan, whether Yerushalayim is chalka l'shvatim and dini mominus is a machlokes. They certainly divided Yerushalayim l'shvatim in the sense that that's chalka shal Yehuda, that's chalka shal binyamin. They had to. That's the passage by the Mizbech. Yankel Gimel Kizot, that the Mizbech is going to be built. Binyamin Zev Yitrov. This wolf is going to be, the wolf of the Mizbech is going to be the chalka shal binyamin. Has to be. This part of the Mizbeach was the Chelke Shel Yehuda, so they chopped off that part of the Mizbeach. And the rest, the bulk of the Mizbeach was the Chelke Shel Binyamin. Now, how you go weiter, I don't know. Chelke Shel Yehuda stops here, Binyamin starts here, so does it go weiter? I don't know. The Gemara says it was Tzua. It wasn't a normal straight line. It wasn't. Borders, boundaries are not always straight. They're crooked. This is a crooked back. So that's where Soloveitchik pointed out, you have to say Bechreyach, that Yerushalayim Lainis Chalkel Shvatim means, and Dini Mominus is a Machloikis, that they ever converted from Mominat Tzibut to become the Mominus of the Shevet, then the Mele, in the Shevet they further divided into the Yechidim. Or no, they never divided it. They never made it into the Mominat Shevet, but to say that they divided it, that there's a border, this is Chalkel Shal Yehuda, that's Chalkel Shal Yehuda. How about to say it like that? Otherwise, you couldn't say the Kaddish HaKadosh in Yerushalayim, there's Halacha. And the Kaddish HaKadosh in Yerushalayim, there's Halacha. And the Kaddish HaKadosh in Yerushalayim, there's Halacha. And it has to be like that. The other Gdolim pose a Kasha, and they don't have any Teret. They did all explain it in Yerushal Heite. As Tite Sech Frank quotes a Kasha that the Gdolim were tumbling about in Yerushalayim years ago. If you plant things in Yerushalayim, let's say someone plants fruits or vegetables or whatever. Balpi Pashtis is Chayvin Shumas and Isis, no? But they were bothered with the Kasha. The Gemara says that the first 14 years after Yishuv Benun, he conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Shevish HaKibshu, the Shevish HaChilku, there was no Chiyuv in Shulim HaMayis. Because Rani Chayiv in Shulim HaMayis is after Kibush V'Chilu. You have to have Chaluka L'Shvatim. So the Gdolim are bothered with the Kasha. Can anybody in his right mind say, and not only there was no Din of Shulim HaMayis, Shemitah, Yoiv, all the Mitzvah Chlizh Baris didn't apply. So would anybody say that Yerushalayim is Chut Talaris? Yerushalayim never had the Gemara of Kiddush HaSaretz because it was learned as Chalka L'Shvatim. Why does Kalka Lishvatim? It's like Kedem Yudalit. It's like in the first 14 years. So how can it be? So they pilpul and they pilpul and they don't really come up with a good test. But the way the Rav explained is, you should hate it. The law that you have to have the Kalka Lishvatim in order to be Chayim and Shumas Lemaisu is, perhaps it doesn't necessarily require a Chalka in the sense of Dini Mamus. All you need is the Gemara HaKibush. The Gemara HaKibush is that we declare this is Chalka Shal Yehudim, that's Chalka Shal Bin Yamin. So once you've done that, that's sufficient. The Gemara this is learning Chalka Lishvatim in the sense of Dini Mamus. That it never was converted into the Mamun HaPrati of this Shevet or that Shevet. It remained the violence of Gans Klal Yisrael.
Sorry, that's how you
have to. Don't forget, we have to learn after Hasrei. Chumash says, he called his children and he said, and then he gives all the brachas. And then it says, at the end of all of the brachas, the pasuk concludes, that's how the final pasuk says. This is what the father told the children. So the Medrash on this week's Sedran by Chi, as well as the beginning of the Zayis HaBrocha, has a very interesting comment. That we find that Avraham Avinu gave a bracha to Yitzchak. Right in the Chumash you don't find, explicitly you don't find. You find that Yitzchak gave a bracha to Yankiv. There was Yankiv the Esav. And then he gave a bracha first to give a bracha to Yankiv thinking that he was Esav. Then he gave a bracha to Yankiv when he knew he was Yankiv. So he gave him twice. And then you find that Yankiv gives the bracha to his children. You find Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Zayis HaBrocha. You find that David gives brachas. Fine, but you don't really find the Pharisee that Avraham Avinu gave a bracha. The Gemara claims, based on the pasuk, Vayitan and Bereishis Perek Chafei, because Vayitan Avraham is called Ashalol Yitzchak Uman Rasun Lo. So the Gemara says that was the bracha that he gave. Avraham Birechas Yitzchak, and that's the pshat in that pasuk. Vayitan Avraham is called Ashalol Yitzchak. That's the bracha. So Avraham Avinu's bracha is mentioned in the Chumash Bernizah, using the term Vayitan. When Yitzchak gives his bracha to Yankiv, it says Vayitan l'chahu elokim. Yitzchak begins with the bracha, with the word Nestina, which Avraham Avinu used, Vayitan Avraham. And Yitzchak Avinu concludes with the word Vayikra. Because the pasuk after he gave him the bracha, says Vayikra Yitzchak l'Yankiv b'noi, he called him and he gave him a bracha that he was going to find he's going to leave, to run away, to find the shidduch and so on. So he concludes with saying Vayikra. Yankiv Avinu starts his brachas by saying Vayikra Yankiv Avanov. He starts where Yitzchak ended, and he concludes with the phrase Vizois Hashebera, Vizois. And Moshe Rabbeinu begins his bracha with the term Vizois HaBracha. He picks up where Yankiv Avinu ended, and he concludes with the pasuk. This the Medrash of Zayis HaBracha doesn't have. This the Medrash in this week's Sederan, the very end of Aichi, Moshe Rabbeinu concludes, Bamech Otza Moshe Ashrecha Yisrael. He concludes with Ashrecha, the very conclusion of Zayis HaBracha. And David HaMelech, when he wants to give a bracha, begins with Ashrei Ha'ish, in the beginning of film. He begins with what Moshe Rabbeinu concludes with. So the Medrash has an interesting theme here, that you have to have a Masorah in Yiddishkeit. True, the Rabbi Shalom gave the Torah and he dictated the Torah in such a way that the Torah speaks to everybody in every generation. And if you have a Talmud Chacham, you can look in the Chumash and be Mechadish Dinim Deraisa Bizmanazer. Rabbi Shafayn Shah is Mechadish Dinim Deraisa that in the previous generations they never heard of. And in every generation, every Godel is Mechadish Dinim Deraisa with the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Rabbi Shalom. You have the right to be Mechadish New Dinim. But you can't just read the Chumash and Yesh Me'ayim, we're going to make up a new Masorah. Even though the Chumash was written in such a way that it's written for us. We can read new things. You must have a Masorah. Not only do you have to have a Masorah in Darshanim Dinim, a Masorah in Halach, you have to have a Masorah in Hanhogit, and how to observe the mitzvah of Torah, and even a Masorah in how to give bracha. It's also part of the Masorah. How to give a bracha. Not stop. Guy's going to make up his own bracha, Yesh Me'ayim. It's interesting. You look in the Maharil. So they thought that the Maharil used to give a bracha to the children on Friday night. He says that even when he was in Shiva, when he was in Ovo, he was the Rav in his Kehle, So he felt that he was permitted to give the bracha to the children even in the middle of Shiva. That's the mocha that it says in our earlier bracha. So the Akhrenim saying, what was the nuslach of the bracha? So they quote what he said. That you're not supposed to say your own bracha. He said, Akhrenim say, you should say the same bracha that the Maril gave. Or the next generation can add on a little bit, take off a little bit, but you have to have a master on how to give a bracha. You don't just take off. You create your own nuslach bracha. You create your own tefillah. So that's what the matter stresses, that Yitzchok had a master from Avram. And Yankov had a Masorah from Yitzchak, and Moshe had a Masorah from Yankov, and David had a Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the Masorah mean? You do exactly the same. You do exactly the same. Sometimes it's a little ridiculous. I'm going to say the bracha in Polish, just because I'm going to say the bracha in Hungarian, because the bracha was given in Europe. I'm going to say in German, because the bracha was given in German. No, in every door, you have to see that it should pass through to that generation. So that's why you find that each one of these tzaddikim who is giving a bracha, he begins... He doesn't begin the same way the other one began and he ends the same way the other one ended. No, he begins with the same way the other one ended, because it's a new generation, it's a new door. You have a hemshech, you have to go a little bit forward, but he has to begin with the master. It begins with the same way the other tzaddik ended, and he goes right, he goes one step right. That's what the Medrash is driving at, that you have a hemshech hadoros. You have the master, it has to be not only in halacha and limud hatorah, master in shmiras hamitzvahs, and a masorah and hanoga, that says politics. You have to masorah how to fear politics. How to give a bracha is also politics. You have to have a masorah. The masorah doesn't mean that because the aguda didn't join the government in 1948, so they're not going to join now. No, or the Mizrahi did, so we have to join. Sometimes the Mizrahi should not join. Sometimes the aguda has to join. But you have to have a masorah. It's not going to be in every generation the exact same thing as before. Every generation is a different shiloh. But you have to begin with a hemshah from before and to see how does it pass around in this generation. We should not all assume that there always has to be a connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah. So what exactly is the connection between Parsha's Vayechi and the Haftorah Vayechi? So the obvious connection is simply that in Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu gives a Tavah, he's about to die, gives a Tavah to his children. In the Haftorah by Chi, David HaMelech is about to die. He dies at the age of 70 after being a king for 40 years. Avoyim Shana. And he leaves the Tavor by Tzav Shlomo Ben Olema. He leaves the Tavor for his son, had it on the Malukah. That's the simple parallel. But then a little more than that is that in the Haftorah by Chi, the uniqueness of the Malchus Beis David institution is stressed. But David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me Hashem Elokecha v'shamarto et mishmeres Hashem Elokecha lechad v'drochav, and then Hashem will l'man yochem Hashem is dvar, Kodesh Baruch Hu will keep his promise that my descendants will always remain in the Malchus forever and ever. L'man le'yikoris l'choish me'alkisa Yisrael, that the Malchus v'zavid will be the chosen Malchus. This theme appears originally in the Chumash when Yaakov gives the bracha to all of the different children. So he gives Yehuda, David was a descendant from Shev Judah. He gives the Malchus to Yehuda. And he says, Lo Yotze Sheni to Yehuda, Mechoyche Ki Bein Radlo, Ad Ki Yovo Shilo. So it's interesting, the Rashi on that Chumash, Rashi on that Pasuk, quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hei. Lo Yotze Sheni to Yehuda is referring to the Rosh Egalia Shevet Bovel. Sherodim is Ha'om the Shevet. Shevet is a Makil, that they hit people. In other words, the Reish Galusta in Bavel was a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, and he had the status of a Melech. We always think about Malchus Beis David in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rambam quotes this Gemara: the Rashi Galusha be Bavel, but Malchus Melech came on them. They had the status of the Jewish king. There was a Jewish kingdom in Chutz Lort in Bavel for years and years and years. They had the Reish Galusta. Mechoykek mi bein raglov. Mechoykek means somebody who's passing laws, one who enacts laws. Chok is a law, a din. Mechoykek mi bein raglov. Rashi quotes the Gemara that refers to the Nasi, the Rosh HaSanhedrin Sheberet Israel, where they used to pass laws, they used to enact Takon of the Rabban, the Paschim Dinam Derayim. So the Gemara says there in Sanhedrin Daf Hei, the power and the authority for Hefke Bezin of the Reish Galusa in Bavel is stronger than the authority of Hefke Bezin Hefker of the Nasi Sheberet Israel. Why? Because Shevet is a stronger Loshen than the Choykei. Shevet means he has a stick and he beats people up like a policeman has a stick. Mechaykek, he passes law. So the Gemara says, since Hasan Shevet, Bahacha Mechaykek, the Gemara says in Bavel, Hacha, the Gemara says, Hacha, we in Bavel have Shevet, the Reish Galusa Shevet. And Hasam and Arzal Tony Mechokek, that means that the power of Hefkebez and Hefker of the Reish Galusa is stronger than the power of Hefkebez and Hefker of the Bezna Shabbat Yisrael. What does Hefkebez and Hefker got to do with Malkus? So this Pasuk, it's this Gemara that the Rishonim all explain as a Hezmond Afei, and the Bar Avram has a long essay on it, that his first Tshuva, he's noticed the Tshuva Aleph, Simon Aleph, and Chelik Aleph of all of the Chalokim of the Bar Avram, where he explains that Hefkebez and Hefker is not a Koyach HaBezin. That Bezin sometimes has the right to function, has the authority to function as Malkus. If the government isn't taking care of all the functions that it's supposed to, then the Bezin has the right to be mafkir people's property and to act as if they are the Melech. They have the authority to function as Malkus. So it's basically, Hefkebez and Hefker is not a din of Bezin. It's a din of Melech. So the Gemara says, but if you have a real Melech, the Reish Galus is a real Melech. And the Nasi HaSanhedrin Shoratzol is Bimkoy Melech, because there is no Jewish king. So the real Melech certainly has a stronger power than the Bimkoy Melech. And that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that Bizman HaZeh, even though we don't have any Malchus at all, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't have any Bezdin, the Gemara says we still have the power of Hefkebez and Hefke. It says that the Zion Tuvi Ho'ir have the authority to be Mafke people's money. The seven members of the board of every community in Europe used to have Zion Tuvi Ho'ir. Have the authority to be mafka people's money based on Hefkebez and Hefke. What kind of Hefkebez and Hefke? These people will be on Nazim. Designed to Lihu here are businessmen. They were elected officials, elected by the community, to govern the Jewish community. So how do they have the power of Hefkebez and Hefke? So the Rishonim explained. The Rishonim are the ones who said it. They said that the Koyach of Hefkebez and Hefke doesn't mean Bezdin with the Koyach of Limud HaTer that they had. It's Bezdin functioning as Malchus. The design to Lihu are other Malchus, Mamish. Of course they have the power of Hefkebez and Hefke. But that mocker is based on this puzzle. Let me also show it to you. And this is said in Vayechi. The Torah says that Yaakov Avinu called his children together. He talked to, and he said, and he's going to tell him, so the Gemara says the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is that he wanted to be Megala the Kei. And then he wasn't able to, so he thought there must be a psul bizarre that they're not roy to hear about the case. Then it came out that that's not why, that the Rebbeinu Shlom has one of the things that he doesn't want anybody to know is when Mashiach is going to come. Doesn't want people to make cheshbainah, and those who know should not allow to be megal. Anyway, megal obviously doesn't know, must be making a mistake. So the Gemara has in the middle of that agadah himself and that's involved. So the Gemara says Yaakov Avinu didn't realize that the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want. At first he thought must be a psul bizarre that they're not worthy of hearing when the case are young, when Mashiach is going to come. But he said, Shema Yesh Bechem Psul. So they said, no, Shema Yisrael. His name was Yankov. Yankov's name was Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Shema Kehan Shema Echor. We all believe in one God. Yankov said, Baruch Shem Kol Mechus Tov Yom Avoyed. They can't understand why is it that it is Tzalkum and Mishkin. And then they told him in Hashemayim, this is one of the things that the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want people to know. When they are going to die, when Mashiach is going to come. And there's a few other things the Gemara has that the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want people to know. So I was always bothered with that Gemara. What kind of a lashon? The Gemara says, "Halacha, you're not permitted to call your father by his first name." Mm-hmm. What do you mean? They talk to their own father? Yeah, they say, "Shema Yisrael." Listen, Yankov. Shema Kehan Shema Chod. They're talking to their own father. How can they call me so? So, Grada, this week I came across in a Sefer HaChumash that somebody asked his kasha. So I saw that he suggested two mahalachim. The one mahalach he suggested was that originally Yankov, his name was Yankov. Then the mahalach changed it to Yisroel. He said, "Risa Imalakim Imanash." So what if my father's name is Rabbi Shech? So I say to my father, Rabbi Shech. So that's it. He says to call him Rabbi Shech. That's his name. That's not his first name. He says only to say the person. Let's say his first name, my father's name is Melech. So I'll say, hello, Reb Melech. Rabbi Melech. That's the Nisa. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that then it's Mutzah. It says, if my Rebbe's name is Rab David, so I say, good morning, David. That's also. I say, good morning, Reb David. So I say that that's Mutzah. It says that when Yeshua ben Nun spoke to Yeshua, spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he said, Adoni Moshe Koloim. So how did he call Moshe Rabbeinu by his first name? Because he said, Adoni Moshe. So the Shulchan Aruch says that whenever you call him Reb Pliny or Adoni, then it's Mutter. So I saw that some suggest that Yaakov Avinu's name was changed to Yisrael Kitzarisa Imalakim Yiman Hashem. So the name Yisrael had built into it a Lashon of Kavod. This was already a title of Yisrael. It's like saying Reb Yankov. They would want to call the father Yankov. They have to call him Reb Yankov. When you call him Yisrael, it has built into it Reb. It's like Reb Yisrael, because Reb Yisrael itself has this connotation. Then I saw that another possible suggestion, that what's the prohibition, what's the Mokar Adin of calling the father by his first name, of calling the Rebbe by the first name? This is a din of Moira, this is not a din of Kibur. The din of Kibur is Machilo Mashkeo, to give service to the parents. So even Kodem Matan Torah, you find even the Goyim were Medaktik on Kibur Aviyem. The Gemara quotes, Eisa the Gemara quotes Dama Ben Nesina, different Goyim who were very neither on Kibur Aviyem. But Moira, that you don't have the Goyim are not Mukhuyu. Even though they're not Mukhuyu in Kibur Aviyem either, but Kibur you find that they are neither. And Moira not. So the Gemara says not to call the father by his name. That's only an Inyan of Moira. That has nothing to do with Kibur. So some suggest that maybe Kodem Matan Torah, even though all the Goyim observed Kibur with Aviyem, the nice Goyim, so the children of Yankvinim Stamba also would observe Kibur Aviyem, Kodem Matan Torah, but Moira they didn't observe. So they would have called the father by his name, Yankifor. I don't understand even what the both roots, my the Kasha bothers me more than
that. Is what's not there.
This Exeter, we read the way Yankov Avinu made Yosef swear that he's going to, when he dies, we should take him back to Eretz Yisrael. So then, after Yankov Avinu dies, we read from the Chumash that Yosef had to go plead by Beis Paro that he should allow him to observe the promise, to fulfill the promise that he gave to the father. So when he says over the story, he has a very strange lesson. Ovi Hizbiani Leimar, how does it say? Ovi Hizbiani Leimar, Hina Nechi Meis Bashi. He's going to die in his cavern. How does the passage continue? You should bring me when it's Asani and Mitzrayim. Forgot the whole lesson. Very same passage. Sounds like he's going to die in his grave. He didn't die in his grave. He died in Mitzrayim and then they buried him in his grave. Somebody no lost. But the Rebbe of Yenis and Abishit has a strange comment on the passage. Very strange. Normally when a person dies, but he sees Neshamas right away. So he says, but Rivka said, when she was handling with the brachas, Rivka said, Lama Eshkol Shnechem Yom Echol. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash that they taka both died at the same day. Lama Eshkol Shnechem Yom Echol, that she had the Ruach HaKadosh, they both going to die the same day. Where does it say they both died the same day? Yankov Avinu died in Eretz Yisrael. And they embalmed him. And they observed in Avela 7 days. And then they went, it took a while, they didn't fly by plane. It took a while till they got there, it took a couple of days. They were walking, traveling, whatever. In Shiloh, whether they carried him on their shoulders or they put him on a wagon. The Munkach said, Chalila, they carried him on their shoulders. Another Achleinim would say, what are you talking about? They carried on their shoulders from Mitzrayim to Hebron. They went on a wagon, whatever. They didn't carry on their shoulders. When they came to the Beit HaFort, they came to the Moref HaMachpel, then they carried. They carried all the way, they walked all the way, whatever. But it took a while, it wasn't by plane. And then when they got there was a whole tikkun where they're going to let him be buried. And then Hushim Ben Dor killed Esav.
The head fell in.
So they didn't die on the same day. So what does Rashi quote a Medrash? They died on the same day. So the Rebbe of Yenis and Abishit has this strange comment, and he says, no, even though he died before, something like brain death, even though he died before, but the Yitzias Neshama was really later. When they buried him, and that's the Kiviyash, Hinei Nechemes, the Kiviyash Yekar recently. When you bury me, that's when the Yitzias Neshama will take place. So they really did die on the same day. So a very strange comment. The Medrash says they were handling in front of the Moref HaMachpelah. They were killing him there.
Why? That's why they had stolen to the grave.
At that time, they killed him. Something like that. That's what the Rebbe Rabbi Yehudim says also. Something strange. So he says it on this person. Hina Nechmeis, Bikiri Yashir Karisi, that the Tzias and Shalom will take place at the time that they're going to bury him. So the Medrash clears for him that they add on top of this, on the Rebbe, it's a very strange concept. They add on that there's a Yerushalmi that they quote in Yeridaya. We have the practice that when somebody dies in Chutzlar, it's considered a Midas Chasidus to bury the body in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael gets the mechilas avayinus. The pasuk says v'chiper ad masa yamar. Pasuk pshat v'chiper ad masa yamar means a different thing. Rashi says v'chiper ad masa yamar pasuk pshat means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mefayit. After all the tzoris that are described in the Teshuvah, after the Holocaust, the Baruch Hu will be mefayit his nation and mefayit Eretz Yisrael and make a Yiddish medina next to it. That's what Rashi says the pasuk pshat v'chiper. But the Gemara in the end of Ksubis has another type of chippah that whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael gets a mechilas avayin. So we have a practice, Amidas Chassidus, that you bury people in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, Bavli does not mention it. Yishalmi quotes, one of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael was opposed to this practice. He said, the Pasuk says in Yeshayah, Vatavoy Vatatamu Esarti, they bring in Mesim into Eretz Yisrael. Vatavoy Vatatamu Esarti, the Pasuk means a different thing. They come and they sin. They come to Eretz Yisrael, but if you come to Eretz Yisrael, they do all kinds of aleret, that the metami Eretz Yisrael in a spiritual sense. And this Amora was angry. What are they bringing all the masons from Chutz Lorets? If they come to live in Eretz Yisrael, they die here, Mechatesas, Ananazat. But they bring dead bodies, what the royal of Tamil is. So the Nevish Pliyas from they write, how could Yaakov Avinu give a tabor, they should bury him in Eretz Yisrael? There's one day in Yerushalmi holds that you're not allowed to do it. So the terrorist did. And he came there while he was alive. That the Yetzias Neshama is not going to be till after he's going to be there. So a very strange concept. You have to understand what that means.
In today's Sedra, we read the way Yaakov Avinu requested of his son Yosef that after he dies, he should speak with that he buries him in Eretz Yisrael in Chevron, the Maraton HaTelah. And then he says, and you know, you remember your mother died, Rachel died on the way, and Rashi explains that I didn't even bother to bury her. I buried her mamash on the highway, and I didn't even bother to bury her in a normal cemetery. So you may have a taina, what do I demand of you? You should take me all the way from Mitzrayim to Hebron, and I didn't do for your mother. So he says, you should understand that you shouldn't have any tarumas. That was Alfi Hadibur, the Rabban Shalom told me, I should bury her there, because when there will be the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Bnei Yisrael will be going into Golos, and they'll be passing by on that highway to go into Bavel. So they'll pass by Kever Rochel, and Rochel will be Mavakal, but now she'll be crying. So there's a reason, there's a good reason in Hashemayim why they wanted Rochel to be buried. No, you shouldn't have any tarumas against me. So the Zohar has an interesting comment on this parsha. The Zohar says, who was buried next to Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu's most favorite wife from all the four wives that he had was Rochel. But who was buried next to him was Leah. So the Zohar points out that there's a medrash. The Zohar has that medrash also, that Yitzchak had two sons. He had Yankov and Esau. Esau was older, and Lavan had two daughters. He had Rachel and Leah. So everybody was saying, Mestama, they're going to be mizavig with each other. Mestama, Leah is the older one who's going to marry Esau, and Rachel is the younger one, the summer she's going to marry Yankov. So for years and years, it says, the Ene Leah Rakoi, so Rashi quotes the matter, she was always crying. She doesn't want to marry Esau. She was davening to the Rebbeinu Shlom, not Stam crying. She was davening to the Rebbeinu Shlom, the Demois Shalosh, she was crying a lot to the Rebbeinu Shlom in Tfilah that she shouldn't have to fall in with Esau. She should be Zeicha, that she should be with Yankov of him. So her prayers were answered. So much, that's what she always prayed for, her prayers were answered. So not only was she Zeicha, she was married to Yankov, she was buried next to Yankov, because that she was always crying about that. She was davening so much, she was married with Tfilah so much, so her prayers were answered 100%. Then later on, after they got married, so right away, Leah has one baby after the other, after she keeps on having one baby after the other, and then Rachel Nebuch doesn't have any children, and then she gives a Pilegish, and the other one has, everybody's having babies except for Rachel. What's Rachel doing? She's just sitting around. So the Zohar says, no, she was davening to the Rebbeinu Shlom and crying her head off. Why was she crying for children? So she was crying for years and years for children. So her prayers were answered. That she's still crying out Ayana Zohar to take care of her children. That's Rachel Mavakal Banel. So the Zohar says, if you really daven, we daven every day quickly. You know, we daven Pasuk Rishon, and we try Pasuk Rishon to have Kavanah to it. We daven so quickly we don't know what we're davening for. But the Zohar says, if a person really davens, and he's marbe b'tfilah, and he really cries, Tefillah with the Moyes. The Gemara says in Bava Kama that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Gam Ki Ezek Vashaveh saw some Tefillah Silafon of the Beis Hamikdash is the Mokam at Tefillah also. It's basically Tefillah Yikarei. That after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Tefillahs are weaker. But the Gemara says Shari, even though Shari Tefillah with Ninolo, but Shari the Moyes like Ninolo. So in other words, it's a higher level of Tefillah. If a person is really Mechaven and is Marbe B'Tefillah and he cries, then his Tefillahs will be Niskam. Just like Rachel was mispalot strong for children, and she still has that tchiyah. She's still taking care of her children. And Leah was mispalot for Yankim, and that's what she got.